Bonjour, c'est Rafael Gonzalez du World Football Daily et aujourd'hui nous parlons avec mon ami et l'éditeur du Goal.com français. Okay, that's about as far as I can take my AP French from high school, and I apologize. I do apologize to all you francophones out there for butchering the beautiful language that is French. It is me, and yes, I am filling in for Ollie still for the rest of this week, and I believe the rest of next week, but we'll see when Ollie comes back. It's okay. Don't worry. I know. We'll get him back. Anyways, today on the show, we bring on the brilliant French football writer for Goal.com and dear friend of the show. It is my pleasure to bring you Robin Berner, who, although he wasn't born in the USA, he is a big Bruce Springsteen fan, as his Twitter account says. So, which is also a slight connection to our show in the sense that the original father of our show, the great Stephen Cohen, was a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. So, Robin, first things first, welcome. What is your favorite Springsteen song?
That's probably the hardest question you're going to ask me all day. it was a river that got me into Springsteen, so I would say the river.
I was kind of going through my Springsteen for the past hour just to get prep for you, Robin. I hope you appreciate that. I was getting my Thunder Road on and all that stuff. Born in the USA, of course. I wanted to drop a couple lines for you just to make you feel at home. So
that was really nice.
No problem. That was
excellent too.
All right, so let's get into the real football, though. We talked about it last week on our show, Robin, but it was more about, well, it was when we covered German football. This week, we're going to start somewhat in the similar situation, where we're going to kind of kick things off by asking, what is the likelihood of Paris Saint-Germain going undefeated this season in Ligue 1? They took in a class, or they look like they're in a class of their own these days in Ligue 1, Robin, especially with the 4-0 drubbing of Lyon. And they didn't even look that good on the night, to be honest, but they just look like they are literally in a class of their own in Ligue 1.
Yeah, certainly on Sunday night, they really flexed their muscles and showed how impressive a team they are. Collectively, they're just so powerful. They're certainly a level above just about everybody else in the league at the moment, and it's difficult to see them actually losing a match. That said, they've still got to play another 20-odd matches this season, and it will be very difficult for them to concentrate fully on remaining undefeated in Ligue 1, mm-hmm. Particularly when the Champions League rolls around in the spring, and there's maybe a few more difficult fixtures around that. For example, they play Monaco and Marseille around their last 16 fixture, I believe, so those will be difficult matches. Certainly there is a possibility of them going undefeated for the whole season, and people are starting to talk about that. But I think Laurent Blanc's playing it down at the moment, and I think that's quite a sensible move for him, because if they were to do that, it would be such a huge achievement.
Now, a couple follow-up questions with some PSG things. Where it seemed like Laurent Blanc was a bit of a stopgap for the Parisian side, flooded with cash, looking for the next big name to come along, I feel like Blanc has proved himself. He's definitely proved himself to me. I personally thought that he was a stopgap. But like I said, he's proved himself a bit at PSG. And he looks like just the man to keep the club firing on all cylinders in all competitions. How is Blanc being looked at by his owners, by the fans, and by his own team?
Well, you're absolutely right when you say that initially Blanc was a stopgap for PSG. They had set their sights long-term on Arsene Wenger, who it seems is probably out of their reach at the moment, because it seems like he's going to sign a new deal with Arsenal. And given Blanc's performance, I don't think PSG can have any sort of complaints about how he's done. Certainly the owners are really impressed by him. They've been extremely impressed. And they are set to offer him a new long-term contract, which includes substantially increased wages, which is a testament to just how well he's done over the course of the last 3 or 4 months. The fans have obviously grown to him. They're not going to complain about a team who have gone unbeaten under his stewardship so far. And I think the players are also warming to him. Certainly all of the star men who are perhaps the players that Blanc might have had problems with, you know, your Zlatan Ibrahimovic's, your Edison Cavani's. They all seem to be quite happy with him too, so everything seems to be really sweet in Paris at the moment.
Now, I could be wrong when I say this, so please correct me if I am. Was it PSG who essentially came out and put an all starting 11 that had not one French player in it?
That's right. It was the first time a Paris Saint Germain team had ever started without a French player. That was on Sunday against Lyon.
And is that, I mean, is that taken, you know, how is that taken by the general French footballing public, I guess? I mean, are they kind of upset by that, or is that just kind of coming with the times these days?
It's not actually the first time it's happened in France. Marseille did it a few years ago when they played Auxerre, but that's the only precedent. And in terms of what the public think, it's one of these mixed things. Paris Saint-Germain fans don't particularly care, to be honest. They just want to see a winning team out there, mm-hmm. Particularly if they're going to win comfortably. On the other hand, I think there's a little bit of a almost jealousy from other supporters that PSG can go out and buy such a select group of players from all around the world. And that certainly impacted on making them such a dominant force in France. So while Paris Saint-Germain fans are happy, the French public as a whole is maybe a little bit more sceptical and certainly takes some winning over.
Now, with Zlatan taking the summer off, essentially, I'm a huge fan of Zlatan, the ninja that is Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Will we see a refocused or a re-energized Ibra looking to prove a point to the world, basically saying to us all, this is what you are missing this summer as he goes through the rest of the Ligue 1 season and even Champions League?
Yeah, I think the Champions League's where he's going to earn his kudos this season. So I think you can really look for Zlatan to be a huge factor, certainly next year after the winter break. Obviously, he's enjoying an absolutely stellar season domestically. He's been at the peak of his game. He's been absolutely outstanding. And I think, while the lack of the World Cup is perhaps starting to be an issue for him, I think he's just generally in a very good vein of form at the moment. And this is just Zlatan at his very best, to be honest.
Hmm. Now, let's jump across to the other new money in Ligue 1 these days, Monaco. Monaco have come out and stated that Falcao is not for sale. In fact, one of the owners or decision makers has come out and said that he had dinner with Falcao and family, and that the striker loves the city and the situation that he finds himself in. Now, usually, when you know, the higher-ups in the club come out and say this means just about the opposite in football. So my question to you, Robin, is this a ploy to hike up potential price tags for Falcao come January, or is Falcao going to stay bedded in with Monaco throughout the rest of the season?
Well, I'd be hugely surprised if Monaco decided to sell Falcao in January. I don't think it was part of the long-term strategy to sell him. I think they signed him as a long-term signing. He's their central figure, or at least he was in the summer. I think problems perhaps have started to rise over the course of the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago in Nantes, he was substituted by Claudio Ranieri, and there are rumours that he didn't take this well, and he's had a bit of a fallout with the coach, allegedly part of the reason why he's not going to start tonight against Nice. But just how much of this is true and how much of this is media scaremongering, it's difficult to tell. It's been a difficult story because obviously you've got such a draw in Spain from Real Madrid, who are clearly intent on signing him, or were intent on signing him in the summer, and they were obviously outbid. And I think there's still a little bit of media games being played by the Spanish press and perhaps Real Madrid as well. I would be very surprised if Falcao was to leave Monaco in January. And even in the summer, I'd be quite surprised if he was to depart.
Now, moving on, you did mention that we do have a full slate of Ligue 1 games this Tuesday, Wednesday. It's not often that we hear fights in France. Especially due to footballing reasons. But recently, there was an arrest and a scuffle that literally broke out in a Lille airport when Marseille came to town with former Lille man Florian Thauvin. Now, is Slovan that missed, or was it just that sour of a departure when the French international left for Marseille?
Well, I think it was the manner of his time in Lille. Although he signed for Lille around a year ago, the last January transfer window, he never actually played for them. Lille loaned him straight back out to Basseterre, where he was at a hugely successful second half of the season. And then in the summer, when he was due to go back to Lille, Marseille's interest started to rise. Marseille were offering him far, far, far better terms than had been offered in Lille. And there was a feeling in the north that he was being prized away from the club unfairly. And there was also a feeling that the young winger, had perhaps engineered this a little bit himself, and that it was more out of greed than out of footballing ambition. Mm. So there's a lot of animosity towards him in Lille at the moment, and that was certainly played out last night when the Lille fans said some pretty vile things about him at the airport.
Now, actually looking at the game, what can we expect from Lille-Marseille? I mean, these two are, in recent memory, have been at the top of Ligue 1 for as long as I can remember. Is this going to be a cagey match, or can we expect some sort of excitement with both these teams? I mean, well, especially Lille trying to keep up with PSG.
I think Lille's main priority will be their standard sort of game plan. They'll try to keep things tight at the back. They've got an absolutely exceptional defensive record at the moment. They've not conceded at all in the last 10 games, which is utterly remarkable. And they'll try and keep it tight and try to be efficient on the break. Marseille probably won't try to be particularly aggressive either. They'll be fairly cagey. So I don't expect it to be a particularly open affair. It might not be the best match in the world to watch. But it will certainly be an intriguing tactical match, particularly if it's tight towards the end. And obviously, like you say, Lille will be have half an eye on closing the gap to Paris Saint-Germain at the top of the table.
Okay, a couple more questions that I need to kind of get through. Newly promoted Nantes takes on Alejandro Bedoya this year. What sort of praise or criticism has the American had during his time in Ligue 1?
Well, generally, I think he's adapted quite well to French football, but it's been difficult for him because international matches have really broken up the schedule, which means that obviously travelling back to the States is quite an arduous task in midweek. So coming back, he's perhaps only been on the bench, so he's not had the sort of fluidity and continuity of game time that he would probably like. But when he's been on the field, he's been rather impressive for them, and I think certainly towards the start of next year, you'll see him really, really come to life. He's been looking lively in France so far, and he's generally won over the public, particularly in Nantes.
Now, our host, like I said, Ollie, he's still working with us, and he's still doing the show. He asked me to ask you if you have any good kind of tips, pointers, or just things to look out for with the Bordeaux tie with Guignol. That's primarily because he'll be covering this game for the little extra work that he's doing on the side here for the next couple of weeks. So what can I tell Ollie about the Guignol-Bordeaux match?
Well, I think it's one of these games that you're looking for a home team who is Gangon here at home, and they tend to be quite strong at home. They have a striker called Mustafa Yatabari who's good at getting himself into positions. However, taking chances he's perhaps not quite so strong at. But Guingamp are a team who are going to probably create chances. They'll try to take the ball the game to Bordeaux, and they'll certainly look quite dangerous, I would imagine. On the other hand, Bordeaux have had a very hectic schedule over the course of the season so far, and they've obviously been involved in the Europa League. Their squad's not particularly deep. It doesn't have particularly good strength. So they might be a bit fatigued. That could be an issue for them. On the Bordeaux team, the player to look out for really is Ludovic Obraniak, who is a Polish international midfielder. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who provides the sort of creativity and spark for their team. On the left of their midfield, you might look toward Nicolas Maurice-Bellet. If he gets the start, he could be a dangerous threat too. But Bordeaux are a team who tend to play defensively, and that could be a fairly cagey performance from them.
And two more questions. And this one's kind of a quick one. The three newly promoted sides in France seem to be doing fairly well. Is this kind of par for the course in Ligue 1? Do we normally see newly promoted sides that far up the table? Maybe it's early in the season, but it just seems like you're not going to really see Hull City, making a push up like Monaco are doing, or Nantes are doing, or Guingamp are doing.
No, you're absolutely right. They're doing exceptionally well. I think all three are in the top 10 at the moment. And they've all adapted to life very, very quickly. Monaco are obviously a bit of a special case because they've had so much money invested in them. However, the other two have adapted extremely well, and they have to be praised. It's quite common for one or two teams in France to do reasonably well in their first season after promotion from Ligue 2. However, to have three all in the top 10 at this stage of the season is absolutely exceptional. But it's certainly not uncommon for them to do at least okay.
Fair enough. All right, and finally, I'm going to let you go on this one, but you've come out on Twitter to say that Hull manager Steve Bruce has told Daily Mail that Nantes striker Philippe Djokovic, I'm sorry, I just butchered that, is a target for the club, would be a great addition for Hull City Football Club. Now, our audience can follow you on Twitter as well, at rbairner, that's rbairner. And they can actually see the extended conversation you had with other guests on our show, like Ben Littleton and other people like that, around this topic and this potential move. But what makes Philippe the perfect fit for the Premiership and this newly promoted side?
Well, he's an excellent striker. He's very clinical in front of goal. I don't know if there's been too many other players in Ligue 1 this season who have been quite as sharp in front of goal, apart from Ibrahimovic, Cavani and Falcao. Below him, Djordjevic has probably been the outstanding forward. He's just very sharp in the box. He'll take chances. He's reasonably good in the air. It's something that he could perhaps improve on a little bit. But his movement's quite sharp. He's quite strong. He's just a sort of modern-day striker. He's very mobile. I just can see him doing very well in the Premier League if he was to go there. I'd be quite surprised if he went to Hull, to be honest. I think he's a better forward than that. I know some teams in Italy have also been looking at him. Roma, for example. So if he was to go to Hull, it would be an absolutely huge coup for them. And it would certainly be one of the best pieces of business in the January window, particularly since he's out of contract in the summer and is likely to be cheaper as a result.
Robin, I greatly appreciate you making the time for us today, and I'm sorry. I tell all of our guests about one or two topics that we might cover, and I know I covered a little bit of the PSG in our emails, but I was definitely all over the place on this interview, and I apologize for that. But you rolled with the punches very well, and thank you very much. I don't know what else. I was going to try to come up with a Bruce Springsteen quote for that, but I got nothing right off the top of my head. My improvisational skills are lacking at this point in time. But again, Robin, I do appreciate it, and thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much. Bye.
Take care, Robin. That was Robin Berner of Goal.com. He is a French football writer. He joins us from France. I mean, you can't get much better than that. I've been trying to jump into French football much more this season. I find it more entertaining. And although PSG seem like they're running away with it and seem like they can go unbeaten, I just feel like there's more coming from France. And it's just generally very entertaining football. So I'm very appreciative of Ligue 1 this season, and very excited to jump into it as much football as I can get my teeth into. Hopefully you enjoy that too, Ollie. I'm not sure whether or not his explanation of Gagnon and Bordeaux is good enough for you. I thought he gave you a couple good pointers and people to look for. But other than that, I mean, I'm really, really focused on how Marseille will do and see if they're going to push PSG to maybe make a couple of mistakes. Other than that, let's go, Ali Bedoya. Come on, Rangers. That's what I'm really doing today. I'll be watching my Rangers take on Arbroath, I think. That's my day, Ali. What's your day like?